So I'm going to introduce our first speaker. He's a man after my own heart because he's got a tender heart, a very humble personality, and he helps us on Pal Talk. We kind of rotate speakers on Pal Talk, and he's one of those speakers. And he's always humble about the fact that he's tries to act like he doesn't know anything about the scriptures, but he really does. And I think he's really good at it. And that's Tony McCurry. And I'm going to have him come up now from Anderson, South Carolina. Right, Anderson?
Yeah.
Or you can correct that in whatever
manner. Oh, that's right.
Okay. I say it's better than South Union, so.
Yeah, it's definitely better than South Union, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. It's not better than West Union, though.
West Union.
That's where it is. Anybody hot?
Yeah, I'm very hot. It's not because of the haze. It's because of the position I'm in. Cecil, how you doing?
Chip.
Let's see who else. Cecil and Chip and
Gary.
Gary.
Yeah,
CL. And Mel. Yeah, where you at, girl? I was waiting on some of your food. Well, it's good to see everybody. It's really a blessing to be here. I can't tell you how good it does feel to be among believers who all believe Scripture the way we do. And I feel that we believe, we study, we understand, and we work the Word the way God expects us to. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for everything, dear Lord. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for that you did for us on the cross, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that you did for us from before the foundation of the world, having set us aside to be part and parcel of your body. And Lord, we ask that you be with me, dear Lord, as I present this study tonight, and that it may help anyone, just one person, come to a better understanding of you, of your word, and the way that they can understand it. And Lord, I ask that you be with those that are on our hearts. Lord, I ask that you search our hearts and be with those at home that need either a healing touch or guidance from you. And all these things I ask. And also, Lord, be with this conference as we have it this year in Phoenix. And Lord, be with all the speakers as they present the word. Lord, it's just such a blessing to hear these messages. And it's such a blessing to know you, Lord. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I was doing my usual study in Ephesians, I came across Ephesians 5:26, where it's talking about that Christ might sanctify and cleanse the body or the church with the washing of water by the word, and that word is rhema. And it kind of caught me off guard because I expected the word to be logos. And we all know that the Greek form for word, or one of the Greek forms for word, is logos. And it kind of set me aback when I seen rhema. And to come with such a strong statement as that, so that the church that Christ might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. The word is sanctification. The word sanctifies the church, and that he might present it to himself, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. But I'll get on into that when I do my Ephesians study. But that led me into the actual study that I'm doing tonight, which is Christ and the Word, because Christ is the Word. And I also noticed that Barney's, it's not really a topic, but when he sent out the email with the letterhead on it for the conference, it was Colossians 2:9-10, where it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And the word just completes the body. The word just fills everything that God intends for human, for mankind to know him. The two forms is logos and rhema. The one, number one, logos is the Greek form. Logos is the word. And it's not the grammatical sense like rhema is. It's the spoken word. Not in its own outward form, but as connected with the inward thought. The word not written, but spoken. The word not as part of a speech, but as part of what is uttered. Hence, used of the second person of the Blessed Trinity. Because as the word spoken manifests the invisible thought, so he manifests to us the invisible deity of the Godhead. The Greek form rhema is that which is spoken, a sentence, a saying, a speech, a discourse, a declaration, a command, or promise. And then the thing spoken of, the matter, affair, the thing distinguished, it's got to be misspelled, distinguished from number one. It is part of what is spoken. A word is part of a sentence. A sentence is part of a discourse as a portion or part of a whole. Logos is the embodiment and outward expression of the invisible thought. So the second person manifests the invisible deity. It is God manifest in the flesh. In 1 Timothy 3:16, because without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. He's the express image of his person in Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:14-15. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. He is Godhead, is Spirit. The Godhead is Spirit. In John 4:23-24, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. That would be us. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As spirit has no likeness or matter, in the critical concordance, it says God himself took creature form, not human, before he created anything, in order that creation might have a mediator, or a means of communion with deity. Hence we have Christ in the beginning. In John 1:1, everybody is so familiar with that. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. But John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the interlinear, there's a little different phrasing going on. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. But it says, in the interlinear, which is closer, which is the actual Greek wording of Christ. It says that, and God was the Word, instead of the English version, as the Word was God. It puts more power to God being the Word, Amen. Christ being the Word. So, whether I say in here shortly the written Word or the living Word, it's all Christ. Every word here is Christ. Christ was before all things. In Colossians 1:17. He is before all things. By Him all things consist, flow together. Without Christ, nothing would be. Christ is the firstborn of every creature. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The Word says it, I believe it. In the beginning of creation, in Revelation, it speaks of in the beginning of creation of God. It says in 3:14, and unto the angels of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith Amen. Amen. Christ. These things saith Christ. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. Logos, as the Logos Christ is the everlasting Son of the Father. In Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. As the only begotten Son, in 1 John 4:9-14, and this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We can say that now, and it can be just as true as 1 John, which was prior to our dispensation.
Amen.
But that word is just as true now as it was then. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us. And His love is perfected in us. You can read Ephesians and all through this in Colossians. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I didn't make this up. This is Scripture. This is 1 John 4:9-14. It's beautiful. Who was given? Given to become human, given a human child. Hence, He was the Son before He was the gift. But He could not be a human child before He was born. God, of the substance of His Father, begotten before the world, but man of substance of His mother, born in the world. But further inasmuch as the Logos, the living Word, become to manifest and reveal deity to us, so the written Word was given with the same object and for the same purpose. Hence, it is sometimes difficult to know which is intended, as the same things are predicted of each. I've got 12 topics, and I doubt I'm going to go over all of them. But I'm going to, when I, like, the first one is both are true. The written word, the living word. The written word, or the living word, is John 1:6-14. This is the truth. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but came to bear witness of that light. He was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. To them that believe on his name, which to become sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. In the Truth for Today version of that, 2 Timothy 2:15, the truth, stated to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word, the logos of truth. Both the written word and the living word have everlasting life. John 5:24-29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, logos, and believe on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And the written word, when I say the living word, is because that's the words of Christ. I say it's the living word. And the written word is the word that is given by man speaking in the Gospels. In Acts 13:46-47, the written word says concerning everlasting life. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word, logos of God, should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. This is when Paul was changing his course of action from the Israel to the Gentile. For so hath the Lord commanded us, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. The truth for today concerning everlasting life. 1 Timothy 1:15-17. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom Tony McCurry is chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him, of life everlasting, that's Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, honor and glory be forever and ever. Amen. Concerning him, concerning the word, concerning the written word, the living word, both are life. The living word, John 11, 25 and 26, Christ is saying unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? In the written word, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. That which was concerning life, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word, the logos of life. For life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which the Father was manifest unto us. And the truth today for the life. In Philippians 2, 15 and 16. That ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, logo, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And also in Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. We're all, even though we're breathing right now, we're already there. We're dead. We're already there with Christ right now. When Christ is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. See, Christ is hidden right now, and we're dead with him. But when Christ, when God brings Christ forth, we're going to be there. We're hid now. We're dead, but we're hid in him. When Christ appears, we're going to appear with him. Both words, the written word and the living word, say it. John 12, 46, 48. Seems like I read a lot from John because Christ spoke so much in John. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. That word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Wow. That word that I have spoken, that logos that I have spoken, shall judge him at that last day. See, when Christ was here, he wasn't here to judge. But a lot of people today want Christ to come back. They look forward to the coming without knowing that if they're alive and remain when Christ comes back, there's going to be some judgment taking place. Christ is not going to come back as a servant. Christ is going to come back to rule. He's going to come back to rule the way Israel expected him to do the first time. That's why they was just so mad at him, because he wasn't supposed to be a servant. He was supposed to be king. The written word concerning saved in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also received, and wherein ye stand, by which, the gospel, also ye are saved. If ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered you unto you first of all that which I will also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the written word, and that he was buried according to the Scriptures, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Truth for today concerning faith. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are all chiefs. Both words beget new life. And the living word, 1 Peter 1, 22-23, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, the Logos, which liveth and abideth forever. And the written word, in James 1, 17-18, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word, Logos, of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creature. He begets a new life concerning us today, that ye put off concerning in Ephesians 4, 22-24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, that we hear on TV all day long, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed by the Spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Both shall judge, the written word and the living word. John 6:26-27. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw my miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, and turn him, and for him hath God the Father sealed. And the written word concerning judge, Romans 2:13-14. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things concerning the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. In Romans 2:15-16, to continue on with that, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Concerning judging for the truth today, in 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge,
Amen.
Shall give me at that day. Not by me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. When we're judging today, it's almost impossible for somebody not to be judged, because we're all sinners and we know it. And we have people looking at us and saying, you know, and they're either talking behind our backs or something like that. I know I do wrong, but I thank God that Christ is going to be my judge. Because even David didn't want man to judge him. David wanted God to judge him. I'm the same way. I want Christ to judge me, because mankind is cruel. Both words are glorified. In Romans 15:8-10. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the Father, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." Concerning glorified with the written word, Acts 13:48-49. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God, the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, and the word Logos of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Truth for today in 2 Timothy 2:8-10. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer unto bonds by the word of God, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. With eternal glory. Both have resurrection. John 11:25. Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall he live." And the written word, which is just before that, was Mary speaking. Martha speaking, said to him, "I know that he shall rise again." And they're talking about Lazarus. Lazarus has done passed. "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." But see, she already knew about the resurrection at the last day. She understood that. A lot of people today expect to pass from death right into the heavens without even having the resurrection. But when they go to the graveside, the preacher will start preaching resurrection after they've already been preached into the heavens at the funeral. Truth for today concerning resurrection in Philippians 3:10-14. "That I may know him as Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," and that is the out resurrection. not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the on high calling of Christ. Both proclaim the Son of God. In Romans 1:1-4, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. The Living Word, John 5:24-25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, logos, and believe on him, Christ, that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. In Ephesians 1:4-5, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. It's not a son of God, that's an adopted son of God. When you're adopted into Israel's hope, you were adopted as a son. The same goes with Christ. If Christ adopts you as his son, you are his son. You are a son of God, according to the good pleasure of his will. And my last one is the Greek form pleruo, which is to fill or fulfill. John 17. I could read pretty much the whole chapter of 17 because it's probably, to me, one of the most beautiful scriptures in Scripture. It's Christ praying to the Father. And now I'm going no more into the world. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, the logos, and the world hath hated them. The world hates us now when we try to deliver the word, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The written word, Romans 15:19-21, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Fully preached. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written. Because this is the time when Paul was delivering the message to the Gentiles that hasn't heard the word. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they shall not heard. They that have not heard shall understand. Truth for today, with the filling or full fill, the Greek form pleruo that those speak of. In Colossians, it's used two times. But it's not used as the word fill or fulfill or fill up. The pleruo in Colossians is complete. Colossians 2:9-10. Barney's theme. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete, the ruler, filled up in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, again. We can't thank you enough, dear Lord, for that you do for us on a daily basis. Lord, you answer our prayers in ways that we can't even see. Sometimes, Lord, we don't get the answers that we want. But Lord, we know that it's the answers that you want us to have. It's your will. Lord, that's all we ask, is that your will be done. And Lord, I thank you again for this message. I thank you, dear Lord, for the message that you give us. I thank you for this word that we have written in our heart, rightly divided, which in Christ's name I pray.